Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. On the line now is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Ryan Horvat. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more of Ryan's analysis. Just search BetMGM wherever you find your podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Horvat. Ryan, what's the word, man? How are we?
Doing good. Best time of the year.
Fantastic.
Finally get to the NCAA tournament, man. So good start to the day. And, looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
No question about it. Now, when the bracket was released, when you were watching Selection Sunday, what were the first things that sort of jumped out to you? Who has an easy route? What is the hardest region? Those type of things.
Yeah, I thought I'm a big Kansas hater, so I kind of like to see that they got screwed a little bit.
Right.
Especially how things went down on Sunday for Houston, which ended up working out great. We took Memphis plus 500 last week to win the tournament. So I was a little surprised that Kansas's draw, because they do have the 18 quad one and quad two wins. Was a little bit surprised that Rutgers was actually left out, but then they lose in the first round of the NIT, which I really can't blame them for, though, because they just had their hearts ripped out on Selection Sunday, thinking that they were, you know, pretty much a lock to get in. So it's probably hard to get up for a first round of the NIT. And I think Alabama probably has the easiest path. Now, who knows? Because it's college basketball this year. There's so much parity. You never know when we get to the NCAA tournament. But I think that they have a good chance to go on a run.
Now, who, when you talk about regions, when you talk about getting to the Final Four, who are your favorite bets in regards to that futures market?
So I know it's kind of chalky, but I really do like Houston now that we're in the NCAA tournament. If they're able to get Sasser back, especially, I know that they, you know, just lost on Sunday. They had to win on a buzzer beater the week before, but I think that says more about Memphis. I think Memphis could go on a run. I actually bet them to make the Sweet 16. I think this first round matchup is going to be tough, man. I think both teams just got absolutely hosed. But if they get to the second round, I really like how they would match up against Purdue. I'm out on Purdue. That's the one seed that I can't see making a run to the Final Four. But as far as the other three one seeds, I could see it. You know, there are a couple teams that have gotten hot the last couple weeks that I really do like. I like UConn as a four seed. A lot of people are all over Duke, which I understand the way that they're playing. They've been much better defensively when healthy this year, and they have their full lineup together. They're 17-1. The only problem is, man, this game against Oral Roberts coming up here tonight is going to be tough. That's actually my favorite bet this whole week. I grabbed Oral Roberts as 7.5-point dogs. It's down to 6.5. I still like that. I think Duke's on upset watch, to be honest with you. So I kind of went chalky, man. Like, I kept going back to Alabama. I kept going back to Houston. To be different in one bracket, I did take UConn. But a lot of chalk for me. Houston, Alabama, and, like I said, UConn is the only four seed, three or below, that I took a shot with. Even though it's like wide open this year, I just couldn't do it. I did bet the Zags. That's the last thing. I took Gonzaga a couple weeks ago. They were 20-1, but now they're all the way down to 14-1 plus 1400. I don't know if I really like that price, but obviously very well coached by Mark Few. But they're in the toughest region. That's the problem. And they don't play a whole lot of defense. So going to be tough to call this year.
So you mentioned Memphis. You take a futures on a Sweet 16. I think a lot of people in this market would like to hear that. But what do you think? What do you think their ceiling is? Like, when we talk about the East, obviously Duke, Tennessee, or the teams they would potentially play in the Sweet 16. How do you feel about Memphis and the run they can make?
I can legitimately see them being in the Elite Eight, maybe even like a surprise Final Four team, just when they're playing their best basketball, because they could score the ball. They're athletic. I think they match up pretty well with every team that they would face. I think they would match up pretty well against Duke. I think that they'd match up really well against Tennessee. It's them and then Tennessee, like the teams that I could see making a run, because again, I'm not sold on Purdue. Like, Zach Edey is a dominant college basketball player, but they just don't have great outside shooting. And we saw it again last Sunday against Penn State. They can't break a simple press right now. They almost blew a double-digit lead in the final 3 minutes of that game. And that's been the case the last couple of weeks. They don't really have a great ball handler. I like Purdue much better last year, and they got bounced early last year. So I'm done trusting any team in the Big Ten. So I think that, you know, Memphis could be an Elite Eight team. It's either them or Tennessee. You know, I'm just way too many people picking Duke for me, and I get why. But again, man, that's a tough road, and I could see them losing to Oral Roberts. So I think Memphis ceiling, Elite Eight, Final Four, who knows, maybe even more this year because it is wide open and they're playing their best basketball right now. Like them, Duke, you know, I like the teams that are playing great right now. UConn, you can make the case for. Marquette is a team that's a two seed that nobody's talking about. And, you know, Shaka Smart's done a great job. But yeah, for Memphis, I'd say Elite Eight.
So that's an interesting thing you say, because I really am. I just historically with the NCAA tournament, I have been a guy who tries to buck the trends, fade the trends. And it feels like you're doing that with Duke to a certain extent. How do you feel about trendy picks like that as we get closer to the tournament?
The thing that really scares me, yeah, I mean, the trendy picks, and then it's like liability at the sports book always makes me a little bit nervous as well. Like, everybody likes Kansas once again, so that'd be a complete loss for the sports book. Everybody, you know, really likes a lot of these top teams. Actually, Houston would be a brutal loss for the sports book, but mainly because of Mattress Mack, I think, has like $4 million on them once again. So, again, they're a huge liability. I like Alabama because they're a great result, surprisingly, for the sports book. Like, nobody is betting on Alabama. And nobody is betting on the Zags, Gonzaga. So that's why I took a shot on those two teams. I try to stay away from the trendy picks. Like you said, Duke, you know, I am kind of doing it with Alabama a little bit. But, man, they defend. They could go on a 20-4 scoring run just like that. But I mostly try to stay away from the trendy underdogs, although I was on one earlier today with Furman, who ended up winning outright on a buzzer-beater shot against Virginia.
That was unbelievable. That first two games of the day decided by 3 points, and that was just – Kihei Clark's been there since the Reagan administration. I don't know how he makes that mistake.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Just the way that went down. That's why I love this time of year. Right. But I'm usually afraid to take those trendy dogs. Like, I know everybody is going to take Colgate against Texas. That's one that really scares me. Texas, again, I haven't even brought them up early like them as well. They're a very trendy pick. That's why I couldn't pick them to win at all. But they're top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency. Everybody's taking Colgate. I think Texas is going to smash Colgate. That conference was really down this year. I try to stay away from the trendy underdogs like that.
So, talk with Ryan Horvat from BetMGM tonight. You just mentioned a couple of double-digit seeds. I know there's some popular ones out there. VCU gets a pretty favorable draw in that 12-5 matchup in the West versus St. Mary's. Obviously, you mentioned Oral Roberts versus Duke. Furman, of course, gets through Virginia. A really popular one that I'm seeing is Penn State as a 10 seed. Of the double-digit seeds, the higher seeds, who do you really like to make a run?
I really do like Penn State. The thing that scares me, again, is they are in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten lets me down every single year. But what I like about Penn State, man, is they're never out of games because they shoot the three ball so well, and that's like 60% of their offense. So they're just never out of games, and I like their draw. So I could see Penn State making a run. I actually have Baylor going down. I'm not sold on Baylor. They just don't play any defense. They could score.
A lot of offense.
I just don't trust them.
A lot of offense.
Yeah, a lot of offense. Exactly. That's the concerning thing. But I can see them getting knocked off. I think Oral Roberts is probably definitely my favorite team just because they have the experience. They've been there before. And that's what I really like with these double-seeded, you know, these experienced teams, guys that you just saw them make a run in the tournament last year. So I like the guys like that.
So Penn State really is that trendy pick, and you seem to be there to a certain extent with them at that 10 seed. But that first-round matchup with an underseeded A&M, how do you feel about that? I think A&M's a three-point favorite, and that'll tip off at 8:55 tonight.
Yeah, I grabbed Penn State. I took them on the money line, took them in all my brackets. I also just grabbed the 3 points because I think that's going to be a close game. That's what scares me, man. And like you said, A&M's going to be motivated because I feel like they've been screwed the last couple of years here. That's at least how they feel. It's going to be tough, man. I mean, just because these conferences, like, I don't know how a lot of these teams are going to match up because you watch so much SEC basketball and that conference was so good and so competitive every single night. But the same thing about the Big Ten. But then, like, same thing as last year. Like, I thought Purdue, everybody was on Purdue last year. We all were making the case for Iowa because they were so good offensively. And then none of those teams even got out of the first weekend. So that's the tough thing right there. But I do like Penn State just because they do shoot the three well and they're able to force turnovers. And if they're able to do that, get out in transition, get some easy looks, I think that they can make a run to the Sweet 16, to be honest. So I think that that's a team that, yeah, I mean, nobody was talking about them a couple of weeks ago. I feel like the reason they're trendy right now is because everybody just watched them last Sunday in the Big Ten championship game against a very overrated Purdue team.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have been telling my listeners, I mean, throughout the season, and especially once I saw their draw, that I am kind of on the Miami hype train. Obviously, that first-round matchup, 5-12 versus Drake, I think a lot of people like Drake in that situation. But what do you think about Miami potentially making a run?
Oh, man, I hate to go against you here, but I can't believe you asked me about the double-digit seeds. I didn't even bring up Drake.
Right.
I love Drake. I think they actually beat Miami.
Okay.
So the reason I stayed away from giving – I grabbed Drake when they were a 3.5-point underdog. I saw that a couple minutes ago down to 1.5. So I don't like it as much. I could see Miami winning that game. They had a great year in the ACC. The problem is, man, I'm just really down on the ACC. I don't know what I'm going to do with Duke here. But Carolina was the number one ranked team going into the season. They don't even make the NCAA tournament. They don't even accept their invitation to the NIT. I don't trust any of these teams. With Drake, I mean, I know a lot of people aren't obviously watching Drake basketball, but they could shoot the three really well. They have experience. They're really good offensively. I think Drake might pull off that upset. I definitely think that that's a close game, comes down to the wire. If Miami gets past that, I think they could make a run to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. As crazy as it sounds, I think that might be one of their toughest matchups right there, just because nobody's talking about Drake. And, man, I mean, they could light it up from three, and that's scary in the tournament.
Yep, talking with Ryan Horvath from BetMGM tonight. Now, last thing on the tournament before we transition to some other things. I look at sort of some of the games tomorrow. Obviously, Memphis will be in action at 8:20. USC and Michigan State are going to tip off the day. What are some of the individual games you like as far as spread is concerned, money line, over, under?
So I do like I like Houston. They're a 19.5-point favorite. Kind of scares me a little bit that the market's moving against me a little bit. Glad I didn't have you earlier today because one of my favorite bets was Utah State. I think I'm done with the Mountain West, to be honest with you.
I like
Boise State. The only problem is, like, a lot of sharp people out in Vegas actually like Northwestern in that game. So we've seen some reverse line movement where Northwestern's now a favorite. But if we could get to like 2, 2.5, I do like Boise State. I just think that they match up really well with Northwestern. Northwestern is really good defensively. I mean, defending guards especially, but I think Boise State can knock them off. The problem is they're a Mountain West team and I don't think they've won a tournament game in 3 years. So good luck with that. Oral Roberts, like I said, is probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. I like Tennessee. I like Tennessee as a double-digit favorite, actually. They're not great offensively, but I think that this is a really good matchup. They should be able to get some easy buckets, force a bunch of turnovers. They're really good defensively. Going to fade Baylor. And if they do cover the number in the first round, we'll fade them again in the second round against the spread. And, that's it. My favorite bet right now is Houston, actually, minus 125. Okay. To make the Elite Eight. That's my favorite bet on the board. Just because, again, I do think that they get through this weekend, and then if they get Sasser back next weekend, or if they get him back, obviously for the second round, I definitely like that. But I just think they're so tough defensively, man. I like Houston.
The only thing I get worried about there, Ryan, is a hobbled Marcus Sasser. Those groin injuries just don't go away overnight.
I know. And see, and that's the thing. That's why I didn't do anything with the Final Four. And the price is much better with the Final Four. I'm just going to go with the Elite Eight. And it's only, you know, a minus 125. So it's not a crazy price. Because for them just to advance to the Sweet 16, you're laying like $3 right now. It's like minus 300. So they just have to win an additional game. But I'm with you, man. That's what's scary right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, on to the NFL. We have free agency going crazy, but I think the biggest story has to do with Aaron Rodgers. Holler at me. Did you watch some of the clips from the Pat McAfee show?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's a situation where I feel like it was the end of a marriage. Like, it was time for the parents to get divorced. They've been staying together for the kids for the last year, and neither side wanted to be the bad guy. Because I thought that, to be honest with you, I thought A.J. Hawk did a really good job in the interview asking Aaron Rodgers. He asked a great question when Rodgers had said, came out of the darkness, you know, and found out that the Packers were looking to move on, and I decided I wanted to play for the Jets. And A.J. was like, well, what if you would have came out of the darkness and the Packers, you know, would have said, hey, we need you. Come back for one more run. Would you have been gung-ho about going back to Green Bay? And Rodgers was like, no, not really. So I feel like that said everything right there. He's just done. And I feel like this is going to be probably beneficial for both sides. It's time for the Packers to evaluate and see what they have in Jordan Love. I mean, they still can run the football, man. They have Aaron Jones. They have A.J. Dillon. They have a really good offensive line. David Bakhtiari, when he was on the field, looked like David Bakhtiari last year. They re-signed Elgton Jenkins. The problem is, even if Jordan Love's good, is the defense going to be any better?
Right.
Because last year we all projected them to be a top 10, top 15 defense, and they were 32nd DVOA against the run. So, you know, I think Green Bay, it's time for them to see what they have in Jordan Love, because they have to. Or if not, then he's not going to be on a rookie deal, and they'll have to draft a quarterback next year. So I think, you know, it's going to be like a rebuild on the fly type situation for them. And then for the Jets, I bet the Jets a couple weeks ago, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl, just knowing that the price was going to go down. I didn't expect to see it go all the way down to 14-1. They're plus 1,400 right now. I feel like with Rodgers, like the one thing other than last year that you still know about him is he's not going to turn the football over. He's not going to throw a bunch of dumb interceptions. And I hate to say game manager, especially with all those weapons. He could have an MVP-type season. But, man, with that defense, the Jets could be a top-five defense. Like, I love Sauce Gardner. I love their pass rushers. I love their defensive line. And if they get Breece Hall back and he's half the player that he was before that injury his rookie year, I think the Jets are an 11-12 win team. You know, Buffalo should still be tough, but I still think they need a number two wide receiver. Getting Poyer back was huge for the defensive side of the ball. I think the Jets are going to be really good, man. As long as Rodgers doesn't go there, show up there and look like Peyton Manning did his final year in Denver, which I don't think is going to be the case, I think they're going to be pretty good, actually.
Is that the once the trade goes through, is that the best division in football, the AFC East?
Such a great question. I think so, to be honest. We'll see what the Patriots do. You know, Bill O'Brien, I laugh at that because
Grabbed Juju a couple days ago.
They grabbed Juju, and we got to remember, like, I don't like Bill O'Brien at all, but Bill O'Brien was really good with Mac Jones.
Better than Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. I mean, anything's better than that.
I agree. I want to see this year what the Chargers look like, because my problem with the Chargers the last couple years, man, has been Joe Lombardi calling the plays. Like, he was calling the plays for Drew Brees, and now they have Kellen Moore, who I don't love, but Kellen Moore is going to allow Justin Herbert to push the ball down the field. We'll see what ends up happening with Austin Eckler, I know. But if they can stay healthy on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, they brought in Khalil Mack, and J.C. Jackson was a complete bust. But if they can stay healthy defensively, I think they could be tough. I think we'll see what Sean Payton does with Russell Wilson and that defense year one in Denver. The Raiders are probably going to be a mess, I think. And then the Chiefs are always going to be good because of Patrick Mahomes. So I'll still go with them being the best division. But, man, the AFC is loaded. That's why I think that's the only problem I have with Green Bay, right? Like, I get you want to evaluate Jordan Love, but I would try to go all in this year and just hope that, you know, that was just a down year for Rodgers. He had a broken thumb, because the NFC is wide open. The Eagles have lost some guys. I know they were able to bring some guys back, but, man, like, who are the top five quarterbacks?
Here's
Who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFC?
And honestly, we did this last year to a certain extent, and it was still bad, but seeing what we have in the – I mean, when we look at, what is it, the NFC South, you got, what, Taylor Heineke, Andy Dalton, Baker Mayfield. I mean, it's getting worse and worse by the day, and now Aaron Rodgers is going to be out of the NFC as well, theoretically. So it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Talking with Brian Horvat from BetMGM tonight. So I know you're a Chicago Bulls guy. Are you a Chicago Bears guy?
No, actually, so I'm a Packers guy. That's
okay.
Why this is also near and dear to my heart with the Rodgers situation. I'm
right.
Actually not a Bears guy, but I'll tell you this. I'm a Bears guy this season. Everybody keeps laughing at me. I played the Bears a couple weeks ago to win the NFC North, and I was getting 6-1 odds. Now, they're actually the second favorites to win the NFC North, as crazy as that sounds. They're all
Ryan
the way down
Poles
to
is cooking. I mean, you can't – I mean, the trade for the number one pick got them DJ Moore and all those picks. And honestly, in free agency, they shored up their linebacking core, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, try to get somebody on the O-line, Nate Davis, to play next to Braxton Jones, who's going to be a second-year left tackle. I mean, all said and done, it doesn't happen in a year. But I could see a pretty dramatic improvement with that team in particular. And I don't think it's unlike what we saw with the Jags last year. Maybe not to that extent. Maybe they won't be a playoff team. But I can see this turn around quick for them.
Yeah, because we don't know what Green Bay is going to be. We don't know. I mean, Minnesota, they are terrible defensively. So I'm out on them. And then the favorite to win the division is the Lions. And I get they were a fun story last year. In the second half of the season, they were probably one of the better teams in the NFC. But it's hard for me to trust, you know, Jared Goff and Dan Campbell. At that price. Like, when they're the favorites at only plus 185, I'd rather take a shot on the Bears only because they still have a top 10 pick. I like Justin Fields. I just think he needs to be surrounded with some weapons. And they have the worst offensive line in all of football, man. So if they could actually protect him, I like DJ Moore. I like Chase Claypool if he's a number three. And the same thing with Mooney. Like, I like Mooney if he's like a number two or a number three. And I don't think losing David Montgomery is a big loss because I actually like Khalil Herbert more. I think if the Bears don't go offensive line, they should be crazy. Like, I usually would advise a team not to draft a running back in the first round. But if you could pair Justin Fields with Bijan Robinson,
that'd be fun.
And you could still get some offensive linemen. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the Bears have a bunch of money to spend. Like you said, they're cooking in free agency. They're going to fix up that defense. I actually like the corners they drafted last year. And they got a bunch of money. So I'm actually pretty high on the Bears' future. Like, if you're asking me, you could buy stock in Justin Fields and the Bears for the next decade or Jordan Love and the Packers, I would have to answer the Bears, to be honest with you. Just because Ryan Poles, is like you said, he's an obvious upgrade over Ryan Pace. I mean, what the hell was that guy doing? even if Patrick Mahomes, even if you didn't know Mahomes was going to be Mahomes, and I know that this is crazy to say now because of the whole off the field stuff, but how do you draft Mitchell Trubisky over Deshaun Watson after he beats Alabama in the national title game?
No idea.
Even with the knee injuries, man.
Well,
and Patrick Mahomes.
That's part of the reason I hate NFL Combine and some of the pre-draft stuff is because it just causes scouts, front offices to overthink five times over. And that's why you see stupid picks like that consistently.
I agree. Like, and I'm not trying to rip Anthony Richardson because I do think that his ceiling is very high. But, I mean, what are we doing here? Like, with the Anthony Richardson could possibly be the first pick and his odds moving all around.
Right.
He's a project. And if you're taking somebody that early, you kind of have to go with the sure thing. Again, that's why I was like, okay, I understand maybe passing on Mahomes, as crazy as that sounds, but Trubisky had 1 year in North Carolina where he put up numbers, and that's the definition right there of overthinking things, though.
No question. Now, last thing for you, and we'll be pretty quick with this. In the NBA MVP market, looks like Joel Embiid has caught Jokic. Where do you stand on this? I mean, last week it was Jokic minus 360. Today they're co-favorites, and even in some sports books, Embiid is the outright favorite.
Yeah, so this is a big day for me actually today because my co-hosts, again, they've been mocking me all season long. I bet Embiid preseason, and it wasn't looking good for a while, but the 76ers right now are hot, man. And I'm actually kind of a believer. I think that they would beat Boston in a seven-game series. Unfortunately, for all those teams in the East, they're all losing to Milwaukee. Milwaukee, the first team to 50 wins. What are we doing? They're still plus 400 to win the NBA Finals. Giannis is the best player on the planet still. I love the Bucks. But Philly, if you could just get over the fact that James Harden, Doc Rivers, and Embiid are playoff choke artists, like I think there's some reason to buy into them a little bit at 12-1 to make the Finals. But I think Embiid deserves the MVP. Jokic, right. The numbers are great. They're always going to be great. He's going to average a triple-double. That's great. I know the Nuggets are the number one seed in the West right now. But also, like, look at all the other teams in the West. The Grizzlies have had major problems. The Warriors can't win away.
No one's consistent.
They've had major problems. I'm hoping it's Embiid. But I still think at the end of the day, man, I think they end up giving it to Jokic. But I'm praying because I have Joel Embiid plus 800 from preseason.
That'll do.
And he's playing lights out right now.
Yep, leading the league in scoring right now. I mean, I feel okay about your chances regardless. But, Ryan, appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, sir. We'll talk next week. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Ryan Horvat. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Now,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.